ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಮುಖಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಚ್ಚಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯತೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯತ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ದಿನತರಣಂ ಪರಮಾನಂದಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮೀಶ್ವರಂ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿತಿ ನಮಿನೇ. ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯಾದೇಶತಾರಿಣೆ. ಸೊ ಟುಡೇ ವಿ ಆರ್ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಕಾಂತೋ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 8. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಕುರಿಕುಲಮ್ ಫಾರ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೈಭವ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಬೈ ದ ವೇ, ದೋಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಡೂಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಅಸೆಸ್ಮೆಂಟ್, please stay after the class to discuss a little bit, a few practical points. We'll be discussing verses 1 to 16, starting with text number 1, chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti and Parikshit Save. The last class of this topic was given by Mother Jayabhadra. This was at the end of the term. Remember? Who remembers the topic? Maybe it's too much to ask for Kali Yuga memory, but who remembers the topic? What was about? If you were here, of course, if you were not here. Chapter 7, the last part of chapter 7. Ashvatthama, very good, good. Good. But Ashvatthama had killed the 5 sons of Draupadi while they were sleeping. This was after the battle of Kurukshetra. Right? That was the debate, the discussion about. And there was a whole dilemma about after Arjuna captured the criminal, there was a whole discussion whether about he should be killed or not. And finally, what was the conclusion? So he should be killed and at the same time not be killed by being expelled from the community. He was born in a Brahmana family. He was expelled from the community and he was humiliated by taking away his jewel on the head. We won't go into a whole discussion on that because this was already discussed, just we are connecting to today's section. In today's section, what we will see is how the criminal, and this we could make a case, he should have been killed because look what happened. Now he came back and he tried to kill the last inheritor of the family, and who was not even born. Parikshit Maharaj was still living in the womb of his mother, Uttara, and Ashvatthama threw another weapon, Brahmastra weapon, to kill the only inheritor of the dynasty. He wanted to take revenge because they had lost the battle of Kurukshetra. So basically he was thinking, okay, we lost, but you will lose also. Lose-lose, that is win-win, win-lose. So that this was lose-lose. Right? If we are losing, you should lose also. It was a mentality completely destructive. So in this chapter, this is today's section, we will the topic we are going to discuss, basically, it is very much related to the topic His Grace Kripa Moya Prabhu presented yesterday, pastoral care. There are some elements there of care, and we will see it. It's related to a culture of care and protection. And here we will see the culture of care of protection as expressed within the community of devotees, and also from the Lord to the community of devotees. This is what is happening in today's section. When Uttara approaches Krishna for shelter, when Krishna is about to leave the capital of the Pandavas, after they won and the Maharaj Yudhishthira has been crowned as the king, the legitimate king, and now Krishna says, okay, business is finished, now I can leave. So in that situation is when Ashwatthama, he becomes a terrorist, like we have, what do terrorists do? They attack in situations when people is happy and they're having a peaceful time in the community, or they are celebrating. Then terrorists come and throw a bomb to kill somebody, whether a specific person or without or randomly, they want to create panic to achieve whatever purposes they want to achieve, or sometimes simply out of anger because we cannot fulfill what we wanted to do. Okay, we don't do it, but you will not be happy either. There may be different ideas why, different reasons why people create panic in society. So we will see in this section what happens and how the Lord protects his devotee within the womb and brings relief to his devotees who are being who are suffering in this way by the attack of a terrorist, in this case Ashwatthama. And then after that, in this chapter, the most important part of the chapter starts tomorrow with prayers by Queen Kunti. And this will be from verses 17 to 43. Tomorrow we will start with a few of those verses. And over the next weeks we will be discussing the rest of the prayers. And at the end of the chapter, from verses 44 to 52, Maharaj Yudhishthira requests Krishna to stay longer in Hastinapur, and the Lord, due to the affection he had for the Pandavas and specifically for Maharaj Yudhishthira, decides to stay for 7 more months. So this is basically a summary of the chapter. Let's start with first verse written on the board. Suta uvacha atate samparetanam svanamuda kamichatam datum sa krishna gangayam paraskritya yayustriyaha. Suta uvacha atate samparetanam svanamudakamichatam datum sakrishna gangayam paraskritya yayustriyah. Krishna Gangayam Puraskritya Yayustriya Suta Uvacha Attate Samparitanam Svanamudakamichatam Datumsa Krishna Gangayam Puraskritya Yayustriya. Vaishnavis. Suta Uvacha Attate Samparetanam Svanamudakamichatam Datum Sakrishna Gangayam Puraskritya Yayustriya Suta Uvacha Attate Samparetanam Svanamudakamichatam Datum Sakrishna Gangayam Puraskritya Yayustriya. Srila Prabhupada's translation on purport. Suta Goswami said, thereafter, the Pandavas, deciding to deliver water to the dead relatives who had desired it, went to the Ganges with Draupadi. The ladies walked in front. So this will be one element of care. When people need care, it's the experience of grieving within the community, within human society. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Today it is the custom in Hindu society to go to the Ganges or any other sacred river to take bath when death occurs in the family. Each of the family members pours out a potful of the Ganges water for the departed soul and walks in a procession with the ladies in the front. So the ladies can go in front also sometimes. We think we have the culture from all days ISKCON that the men go in front, but we see here that the ladies go in front. In some temples also, in Srinathji, for example, and in Natwar, one of the most active temples in India, who has been there, they have big ladus like that, Mahaprasad. I remember that. Who else? Anyone else? It's a very nice temple to visit in Rajasthan. And the ladies are in front for the darshan. And the way how it functions, they have the doors closed outside the temple. Like, for example, if the door outside in the reception will be locked before every darshan, the devotees are waiting outside. And then they open the doors, and suddenly everyone runs inside. I was a bit shocked. I was told that when I experienced, so that was the system. Everybody runs. I believe the reason is that there is more people than space inside. So the ladies run in front, so that's established, in front, and the men run in behind, the at the back of the temple. Like the door will be here, the ladies will come in front, the men in the back. And people go out from the other side, there is another door. So you take darshan, and people who don't fit in push, 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 and then you go out. And I took darshan like this from the back, ping, push. And so Srinathji, like calling Govardhan Hill, you know Srinathji, yeah? And then you are pushed out, and outside there is a window where you can get a big piece of Mahaprasadam if you pay a very small amount of rupees. So, anyway, this is related to the ladies walking in front, as described here. The Pandavas also followed the rules more than 5,000 years ago. Lord Krishna, being a cousin of the Pandavas, was also amongst the family members. Text 2. I think I'll do the reading and then and perhaps reading some sections of the Prabhupada's purports, and then we will have a discussion. Although actually there are two topics, so we may stop in the middle, discuss a little bit and continue. Let's see how it flows. Text 2. Having lamented over them and sufficiently offered Ganges water, they bathe in the Ganges, whose water is sanctified due to being mixed with the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. There sat the king, this is text 3, there sat the king of the Kurus, Maharaj Yudhishthira, along with his younger brothers, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, Kunti, and Draupadi, all overwhelmed with grief. Lord Krishna was also there. So Lord Krishna was grieving with them. He was part of the family. He was the cousin. So there had been a great calamity in the family. So many members had been killed in the battle, and they had been killed by family members. So it's even difficult to imagine how extreme it was. Of course, it was a family of warriors, so they were accustomed to death. So in that sense, you could say, okay, they were more prepared than the average person, according to their psychology, but still they were grieving. You can imagine how the hearts must have been totally, how you call it in English? I know the Spanish word, desgarrado. It's a Spanish expression, I guess. When the heart is like broken, what's the word? Desgarrado. Who helps me? It's an expression very graphic. Like the heart has been not just like a lion with the nails. Rip, yes. Yes, thank you. You use that term in English now? To say when the heart is ripped, no. That's a Spanish expression. Wrench. Thank you. Wrench. So, you can imagine how much pain they were experiencing. Perhaps even as much pain or more pain when I heard about that meeting. That was a meeting of leaders of ISKCON with members of the youth. Some of them had been abused in ISKCON schools. And everybody was crying. When the community realized what had taken place, every member of the community was grieving for that situation. So it was something as serious or at the same level or even more people, so many members of the family, including children, had been killed. This was after the death of the sons of Draupadi. And they were grieving. And we shouldn't undermine the need for devotees when we talk. Yesterday we were hearing from Kripamoya Prabhu about pastoral care. We shouldn't undermine the importance of allowing the community of devotees for grieving. Sometimes we have a misconceptions of the philosophy, and we say if somebody is grieving, we say, do not lament for the life nor for the death, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Do not lament. So how is that? Is there a place for grieving or not in the community? And if yes or not, why? What do you think? Can you speak louder, please? Yes, we should acknowledge there are different dimensions in the person. One of the experts in pastoral care, on Culberson, we were seeing the day before yesterday, the wholeness wheel. And this wholeness wheel is very much consistent with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis of how, as embodied beings, we need to consider different dimensions of life. Not just the dimension of the soul, the pure soul, but because we are embodied, we need to consider the physical dimension, the emotional dimension, the mental intellectual dimension, the social dimension, and the volitional dimension. Volitional is concerned with choice. Devotional service is something we do because we want to do it. We make vows at the time of initiation, at the time of marriage, at the time of renunciation, but the vows will be maintained only, of course, with the will of God and with the blessings of God, but only if we want to maintain them. If we decide not to maintain them, or we feel that we are being forced to do something, then we won't do it. So that dimension, volitional, is very important. The dimension of choice. So for a person to be grounded, for embodied being, needs to take care of these six dimensions of life, and we need the help of the community of devotees, Sadhu Sangha, in order to be able to experience a balance in these six areas. So there is an individual work and there is a community work. And yesterday I was looking, when looking at grieving, I was looking at this new edition of Mother Sangeeta's book, you know this book, The Final Journey. Very nice book about caring for those who are terminally ill or for the family when the terminally ill die. And she refers to, in the beginning of the chapter, chapter 13, entitled Grieving, Healing, and Rejoicing for the Vaishnava. So that there are different dimensions in going through the experience of death. Grieving, and we need to allow sufficient time to grieve. I hear from some Srila Prabhupada's disciples who were present when Srila Prabhupada left his physical transcendental body in Vrindavan, and they didn't allow themselves to grieve. And this came back later on. So they could notice that because they didn't give sufficient quality time for grieving and for acknowledging Srila Prabhupada's departure and express what they were feeling, then later on it came back. And they felt unbalanced. And in giving support, it's very important to be there. Sometimes we don't... The philosophy has its place, but should be timely offered. If it's untimely offered, will curtail the grieving process of the person, or of the affected persons, or the community. Shri Shri Radha Gopinatha Ki Jai. So, and here there is an example that she gives, which is telling. In the early 70s, while in the Los Angeles temple, I learned of a god sister who seemingly without warning took her own life. Her husband, also an initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada, was later asked why he moved away from our society of devotees. He replied, because my wife committed suicide and no one bothered to ask me how I was feeling. So nobody, the devotee was feeling totally broken, destroyed, and I don't know exactly, maybe they did the ceremony, but nobody went in a personal way and say, how do you feel? What are you going through? That's a crucial question in care. What are you going through? How are you feeling? Or in this particular context, in grieving, the recommendation, one good question recommended by Sangeeta Devidasi is, how can I help? How can we help? Sometimes we cannot do anything. We cannot, but only that question, that may be sufficient to make the person at least feel not alone through the grieving process. Feel supported, and even if not completely understood, but at least somebody is together with the person. And many times, of course, helping with the practical aspects of the like the ceremony and the burning of the body. This is very important because sometimes the person is so broken that doesn't have the energy, even if it is after a terminal illness, and the person already knew that it was going to happen. But there is a whole process of being completely exhausted, physically and mentally, taking care of the situation. So when the community comes together and helps in the practical aspects, That's very important. That makes the person feel supported and sustained by the rest of the community. And sometimes it happens. I was speaking recently to a mother who lost her only child, a grown-up child, not a small child, but still her only son. And even though she was expressing how she understands the philosophy and theologically all the teachings are there, but there is confusion as to how that happened. Even just to accept that the person is not there anymore. We won't get into the details of this. This is part of the pastoral care course, but there is a period of grieving from the beginning, weeks, until at the end of 1 year is when the grieving process may, as an average, become completed. It may take 1 full year until the person is able to function completely, to move on from the separation of the person who has departed, if it's a very close person at year one. Comments or questions on this topic before we move to the next verses? Well, it says that Lord Krishna was there. Let us see. Doesn't say that he was weeping, but implicitly it may be understood he was part of the family. It says, the verse says, Lord Krishna was also there. And says, the Lord therefore was equally sympathetic toward all of them, towards the Pandavas, and therefore he began to pacify them befittingly. Befittingly, doesn't specify how, but could be with some sweet words or with whatever. Maybe just consoling. Sometimes it's just touching the person. Sometimes words are not sufficient. It's better not to say anything sometimes. Just be with the person who is a grief and touch the person. So that, as appropriate, of course, but many times it's just a physical touch is sufficient to express, I am here with you. Of course, there he knew, there he was making a show. was the trick of the Lord there. Because he knew they were not dead, so was grieving, but was not so real as this. Of course, we could say also, ultimately, like the example given in the annihilation of the Yadus, when they are destroyed, the example given by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is the example of the family of magicians who killed each other. There is a family of magicians who are invited to perform in front of the king. And at the end of the festival, they receive a gift and they start fighting over the gift and they killed each other. All this in front of the king and the queen. They do it so quickly that they have no time to react and to stop them. And it's a big shock for the whole festival. So after 1 month, they sent a letter to the king saying, Your Majesties, to the king and the queen, it was an honor to perform in front of Your Majesties. And we just want to reassure you that apologize if the end of the show was too dramatic, but we want to reassure you that we are alive. We are back at our place, and it's fine. We are okay. Don't worry. And then the king sent somebody, and it was true. They were alive in their hometown. So ultimately, also death, even if theologically we know that that's the higher principle, but in this dimension, we experience it. And we need to acknowledge it, otherwise, if we are artificial, it may backfire on us. That happens with everything in each phase of life. We need to acknowledge what's happening, what we are going through. Otherwise, we are living in denial, it is said. And when we live in denial, that can be dangerous, that we are not acknowledging what our experiences. Okay, text 4. Citing the stringent laws of the Almighty and their reactions upon living beings, Lord Sri Krishna and the Munis began to pacify those who were shocked and affected. So here the Lord is speaking. Although Maharaj Yudhishthira couldn't be pacified even by the Lord, he was still affected. And only when, by the will of the Lord, later on we will see in next chapter, in chapter 9, when Mahatma Bhishma Dev spoke, then Maharaj Yudhishthira became pacified. That was the will of the Lord, that his pure devotee will pacify his family members, the Pandavas. Text 5. The clever Duryodhana and his party cunningly usurp the kingdom of Yudhishthira, who had no enemy. By the grace of the Lord, the recovery was executed, and the unscrupulous kings who joined with Duryodhana were killed by him. Others also died, their duration of life having decreased for the rough handling of the hair of Queen Draupadi. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport mentions 5 groups of persons who need to be protected in society. And we can measure the advancement of civilization, of a community, by how much they are able to protect and to care for these 5 groups. Let's say one each, if we can remember. What are these? The elderly. And this is something we need to deal with in ISKCON. We're still in the process of moving in that direction. His Holiness Ajatavita Maharaj was saying this may be another issue another big issue may come to us, because we were not prepared for it. We may be shocked because when people start losing their memories, sometimes may happen, different situations start behaving like children. Sometimes elder people behave like children. So how do we are going to react? Or we need to be prepared to take proper care of those Vaishnavas, those members of the community who serve for their whole life and know they cannot even function normally. They may do some funny things, so we need to be ready for that, as shocking as it may be for us. They are part of our family, they are part of our community, and should be taken care properly. So the elderly,
the cows,
brahmanas, children, and women. So these five groups should be especially cared for. Every community member should be cared for, but especially these five groups should be considered. We won't go into details now on how to do that. It will be a whole, we could do a session for each group, actually. There could be a whole discussion on how to protect, what to do, what not to do with each of these groups. And this could be actually a topics for topical classes. We could focus on one of these groups and have a discussion on the culture of care, pastoral care for each of these sections of the community. Text 6. Lord Sri Krishna caused three well-performed Ashvamedha Yajnas, horse sacrifices, to be conducted by Maharaj Yudhishthira, and thus caused his virtuous fame to be glorified in all directions, like that of Indra, who had performed 100 such sacrifices. So big yagyas were performed to consolidate the position of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and now a great calamity is about to take place. Lord Sri Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu after having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, headed by Srila Vyasadev. The Lord also reciprocated greetings. I didn't mean, of course, that was a calamity for the Pandavas, that the Lord was leaving Hastinapur, but I meant what comes next. As soon as he seated himself on the chariot to start for Dwarka, he saw Uttara hurrying toward him in fear. Uttara said, "O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality." So Uttara, she's, Prabhupada explains in the purport, in this series of purports, she was the widow of Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna. And she had lost her husband in the battle of Kurukshetra, and he had been killed in a very unrighteous way. Seven Maharatis surrounded him, which was illegal according to the rules of the battle, and they killed him mercilessly. And he was a young man. And Uttara was pregnant. Parikshit Maharaj was in her womb as a little child, and now Ashvatthama had thrown the Brahmastra weapon to kill Parikshit. "O my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally, if you so desire. But please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord." This could be a verse to discuss ethical issues in terms of when there is danger for the mother, what is it legitimate to abortion or not? That could be a whole discussion could be raised. Sometimes the doctors identify that. The mother may die. But here we see the mother is expressing in favor that, okay, protect the child, kill me, let that the Brahmastra kills me, but let it not touch the child. I won't open a whole discussion about what will be ethical in our community. If the doctor will say 99% that if we don't destroy the embryo, the mother dies. That could be a debate, a discussion topic. Can this be considered an exception for abortion or not? I'm not making statements, just giving food for thought. But this will be a whole topic. So what I mean is that topics are not that easy many times. In reality, it's much more complex than just very basic formulas. There are general formulas, but then there may be peculiarities that we need to deal with, which are very complex and difficult. We need wisdom in order to take proper decisions. Text 11. Sutta Goswami said, having patiently heard her words, Lord Sri Krishna, who is always very affectionate to his devotees, could at once understand that Ashvatthama, the son of Dronacharya, had thrown the Brahmastra to finish the last life in the Pandava family. So the perpetrator was very close to the family, was the son of the guru of the family, who had been killed in the battle, and he wanted to take revenge for the death of his father. O foremost among the great thinkers, Munis, Shaunaka, seeing the glaring Brahmastra proceeding towards them, the Pandavas took up their five respective weapons. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, having observed that a great danger was befalling his unalloyed devotees, who were fully surrendered souls, at once took up his Sudarshan disc to protect them. The Lord of Supreme Mysticism, Sri Krishna, resides within everyone's heart as the Paramatma. As such, just to protect the progeny of the Kuru dynasty, he covered the embryo of Uttara by his personal energy. O Shaunaka, although the supreme Brahmastra weapon released by Ashvatthama was irresistible and without check or counteraction, it was neutralized and foiled when confronted by the strength of Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Even though the Brahmastra weapon was like a nuclear weapon, Prabhupada translates Brahmastra's nuclear weapon, the power of Krishna is so great that even such an extreme calamity, such a nuclear bomb, can be counteracted by the will of the Lord if he chooses to protect his devotees in that extreme situation. which is what he did with Maharaj Parikshit. In this chapter and chapter 12, where some different verses describe Maharaj Parikshit in the womb, there are two explanations given. One is that the Lord, like here, covered the embryo and impede that the embryo was destroyed. And another explanation in chapter 12 is that actually the embryo was damaged and the Lord restored it. So whatever argument we take, in any case, the Lord protected his devotee when he was attacked. Protected the devotee in the womb and the mother devotee. And the whole community of devotees, because Parikshit was meant to become the protector of the whole community. So by protecting him, he was protecting the whole community. And this was in response to the prayers of a pure devotee who approached him. And text 16, O Brahmanas, do not think this to be especially wonderful in the activities of the mysterious and infallible personality of Godhead. By his own transcendental energy, he maintains and annihilates all material things, although he himself is unborn. Comments or questions on the topic of protection? I'm aware it's time, so I will take one or two very short. You mean when he was cursed, or what would you reply to that? So you say he was protected by Shukadeva, by Krishna sending Shukadeva Goswami and speaking the Bhagavatam? That's okay, good. So the protection of the Lord may come in different ways, not just physical protection. Sometimes when time for, because anyway, a physical body is meant to be destroyed sooner or later. So even if the body dies, the soul is not dying, and the Lord may offer protection according to time, place, and the desire of the Lord, time, place, circumstance, and the plan of the Lord, and according to what the devotee needs to advance in Krishna consciousness, may express the protection in different ways. Sometimes he will protect physically, sometimes he will protect spiritually or mentally in different ways according to the situation. So Parikshit Maharaj was protected spiritually at the end of his life. So was part of the natural cycle, and therefore the Lord didn't intervene there. Nor Maharaj Parikshit asked the Lord to intervene. If he would have asked, we don't know. Sometimes the Lord may change the plan due to the prayers of a devotee. So that, although ultimately he has the last word. So, and therefore, when Srila Prabhupada was very ill, he asked the devotees to pray, like, and the devotees were praying something like, "My dear Lord, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada." So they were giving the Lord the last word. They wanted to show ultimately we are surrendered to your desire. Okay, it's time to stop. Tomorrow we will continue with verses from 17 to 21, if you like to read them before the class. And those of you who are doing the examination, please stay and we discuss a little bit. So this will be Yamasami Prabhu, Madhu Gopal, Mark. I don't know about the ladies. Some are missing who do the exam. Please stay and we discuss. Thank you. Hare Krishna.